Very good morning to all. In every generation, there are people who refuse to follow the crowd. The American writer Henry David Thoreau once wrote, he said, "If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer." In other words, while everyone else is marching in one direction, some people hear a different rhythm and they go the other direction. And history is filled with such people. When everyone else surrendered in fear, they chose courage. When everyone else compromised, they stood firm. When everyone else followed public opinion, they follow their conviction. And the same is true spiritually. Now, living in a modern world which beats a different drum, we often hear such things to encourage us to go with the crowd, for example, go with the flow. Don't rock the boat, they say. Follow the crowd. Do whatever makes you happy. But followers of God march to a different drummer. They listen to the voice of God rather than the voice of the majority. And that is exactly what made Caleb different. 45 years earlier on, 12 spies entered the promised land. 10 of them heard the drumbeat of fear, but 2 heard the drumbeat of faith. 10 followed the crowd, but Caleb and Joshua followed God. And because Caleb dared to be different, his life becomes one of the greatest examples of faith in the entire Old Testament. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for examples of faithful men and women who walked with you. And this morning, as we study the life of Caleb, help us to hear your voice above all others. In a world that constantly pressures us to conform, grant us the courage to stand for truth, the strength to serve you wholeheartedly, and the faith to trust you for greater things. And as we listen to your word, may your Holy Spirit challenge us, encourage us, transform us. And may we live this century, this morning, determined to dare to be different for your glory, for our Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Joshua chapter 14 and 16 shows us what it means to march to the beat of a different drummer, to dare to be different for God. And we can learn from Caleb's example 4 principles to help us to live differently for our Lord. Firstly, stand up for our convictions, verses 6 and 7, chapter 14. Here, Caleb is introduced in this passage as the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Verses 6 and 7. And we are informed in Genesis 15, verse 19, that the Kenizzites were a tribe of Canaan in Abraham's day. So apparently, the Kenizzites, in part at least, joined the tribe of Judah just before the Exodus, so that by the time they left Egypt, the Kenizzites identified themselves as part of God's people. And their faith in God was not merely hereditary, but was the fruit of their conviction. And Caleb displayed this faith throughout his lifetime. And now standing before Joshua in Joshua 14, Joshua was his old friend and fellow spy. Caleb reminded Joshua of that day, 45 years earlier on, when the two of them stood alone against 10 other spies. You see, Moses had sent 12 spies into Canaan to spy out the land. And of the 12 spies, 10 of them came back. Actually, in fact, they praised They praised the land itself, and they brought back large clusters of grape, saying that the land is fruitful, But then they fearfully concluded that the land has inhabitants and fortified cities that it is impossible for them to possess. But Caleb stood up and silenced the people. Numbers 13, verse 30 tells us, Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." And then later on, Joshua also joined Caleb in urging the people to trust God for victory. And so only Caleb and Joshua, among the 12 spies, said, "We must go in and possess the land." You see, Caleb's testimony was very simple. He spoke what was upon his heart. It was not that he minimized the problems, the giants, the fortified cities, but rather he magnified God. To him, God was bigger than the problems they were facing. But the other 10 spies magnified their problems, and in so doing, they minimized God. Caleb had the courage to speak out his conviction, so he had both an honest heart and an honest tongue. You know, we may not fully appreciate the difficulty that Caleb had for speaking out what was upon his heart. You see, for 40 days when they were out in the promised land, when Moses sent out the 12 spies, for 40 days, these 12 men had been together as companions. They had eaten together. They had slept under the same tent. They walked the same path. They enjoyed listening to the same stories and the jokes that they share with one another. And to break away from his companions for 40 days takes a lot of courage, not to succumb to their peer pressure and then advise Moses a course of action that is exactly opposite to the majority of them, 10 of them, who said, "No, this task is too difficult. We should not go in." You see, moral cowardice has kept many Christians dumb about their convictions, causing them to just flow with the crowd, follow the majority. You see, as Christians, we must learn to shun the fear of men and the favor of men. Instead, we must seek the approval of God. And personally, I've learned to do that by declaring the whole counsel of God. I've said what God had laid upon my heart to say in accordance with His word. And let me tell you, to stand up for your conviction and speak what God says, and not follow the majority, takes courage. And as Christians, we need to do that more often. 2 Timothy 2:15 is what inspired me to do that. Paul telling young Timothy, as a young pastor, to do his best in the study of God's word, so that he may present himself approved, a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. You know, we tend to hide our convictions, especially when they are unpopular. But a godly man and a godly woman speaks what is in his or her heart, not merely echo the voice of the majority. So, brothers and sisters, there is a reason why Caleb had the courage to stand up for his convictions and went against the majority of his peers. The reason is because he followed the Lord fully. And this brings us to our second point: serve the Lord wholeheartedly. 3 times we are told in Joshua 14 that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So let me read verse 8 and verse 9 and then in verse 14. So this is what Caleb said: "But my brothers who went out with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God.'" You have wholly followed the Lord my God. And then verse 14, Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. So Jacob followed the Lord fully, wholeheartedly, believing that if the Lord deserved to be followed at all, he deserved to be followed with all his heart. You see, brothers and sisters, I believe God is still looking for people today who would make wholehearted commitments to follow him and to serve him. Ignorance has kept many Christians from knowing what God wants them to do with their life. Indifference have kept many Christians from answering God's call, where they see the needs all around them, but they are indifferent to those needs. Impulsiveness have set many out, but when challenges arise, they will turn back. Half-heartedness have caused many Christians to be weary and tired long before the task is completed. But it is wholeheartedness which provides the strength and the will to finish the course and fulfill the task God has entrusted to us. In his book, One Crowded Hour, the writer Tim Bowden was describing an incident in Borneo in 1964. Those of us around my age will remember that 1964 were the confrontation years, and our nation, Singapore, was also facing the confrontation, you know, remember that those days? And so in this book, Tim Bowden was talking about, he was describing that one incident in Borneo in 1964. You know, the Nepalese fighters known as Gurkhas, by the way, we know as Singaporeans that the Gurkhas provide security, you know, for our nation. They're from Nepal. And they were asked whether they were willing to jump from airplanes into combat in Borneo and to fight against the Indonesians. And the Gurkhas, because of a language problem, didn't clearly understand what was involved. Nonetheless, they bravely said, yes, we will do it. We will jump from the airplane into combat. On one condition, they said, provided the plane is not flying more than 100 feet above the ground and it should be near swampy places. And when they were told that 100 feet, the parachutes weren't able to open, and that's why they began to say, oh, we didn't realize that we can have parachute wheelers. In other words, the Gurkhas were willing to jump from the plane without parachutes. So this is total commitment. You know, our Lord Jesus calls us to follow him with the same kind of commitment and courage, willing to risk all for his sake. When our Lord Jesus was asked, what is the most important of all the commandments? This is what he replied in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 30. And this is what he said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Since the Lord demands from us such stringent devotion, it is only right that you and I respond accordingly, loving him and serving him with all our heart, our soul, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Anything less than wholehearted commitment on our part is not worthy of our Lord, especially since he had made that total sacrifice on our behalf on Calvary's cross. You see, brothers and sisters, wholehearted devotion to God and to his service make us unafraid of people, make us courageous with trust in his help, and help us to be unselfish in our obedience to his will. On the other hand, half-hearted devotion to God brings a lot of problems. Fear of man, a desire to seek people's favor rather than God's favor, it will lead to selfish ambitions and, of course, our personal agendas. One reason why many Christians dare not follow the Lord fully, wholeheartedly, is insecurity. But brothers and sisters, unswerving obedience to God's declared will, let me tell you, is the greatest security you and I can ever experience. Believe me, you cannot be any more secure than to be in the place that God has placed you. And many of us can testify to this. Listen to what God said concerning Caleb in Numbers 14, verse 24. This is what God said: "My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." This was 45 years earlier on, before Joshua chapter 14. This is God's commendation for his servant Caleb. Wholehearted devotion to God does not make life and ministry any easier. In fact, it often leads us into greater challenges. The more closely we follow the Lord, the more opportunities he will open for us to trust him. And Caleb's greatest challenge was still ahead of him. And this brings us to our third point: stretch beyond our comfort zone. Chapter 14, verses 10 to 15. At the age of 85, when Caleb could have asked for a quiet place to spend his last days, raising maybe some farm animals, growing vegetables or some flowers, Caleb instead requested the very portion of land that has struck fear in the hearts of the 10 spies 45 years earlier on. Let me read verse 10 to verse 12. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me," here Caleb saying, "alive, just as he said, this 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me." That was 45 years earlier. "My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. And now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Caleb could have asked at 85 years old, he could have asked Joshua, "Give me a rocking chair and let me rest the remaining of my years, remaining of my few years." Instead, he said, "Give me this mountain up there where the Anakim are." The Anakims are the son of Anak, who were giants at that time. At 85 years old, Caleb was ready for another big challenge, another good battle. He was eager to fight the Anakim at Hebron and took the city for his possession. You know, the natural tendency for many people, including many Christians, as they grow older, is to seek a more comfortable life. Old age, many people think, is a time to withdraw from the battlefield, a time to leave the battles to the younger ones, a time for well-deserved rest. But if we are honest with ourselves, actually, age is not the problem. Age is merely an excuse. Though we often use it as an excuse for not getting involved. Most of us try to avoid getting involved in something not because of age, but rather because it requires us to move out of our comfort zone. When we come up against something that is bigger than what we are, we tend to back off. What keeps us from stretching? What keeps us from moving beyond our comfort zone? I believe the number one reason is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of rejection. What if I try to reach out to people in the community? What if they reject me? Fear of appearing silly in the eyes of people. And all these fears can immobilize us, even when we sense God clearly calling us to launch out into this exciting venture. Another reason is our love for comfort. Especially living in affluent Singapore, somehow we have been so accustomed to comfort that any slight inconvenience would dissuade us from trying anything worthwhile for the Lord. We are so comfortable, you know, in our acquired wealth. Another possible reason is because we are satisfied with the status quo. We already like what we are, what we have accomplished, what we have made. So don't talk about going beyond what we are already comfortable with. It has been said that you can always tell a man's size by the bigness or the smallness of the things he fights for. Caleb chose a big and foreboding task. Not that he was filled with pride in his own ability, rather he believed that the God he worshipped, the God of Israel, was with him. Caleb had faith in the presence of God. You see, when he said in verse 12, it may be that the Lord will be with me. In the English, it sounds like he was doubting, but in the original language, it was actually a sign of his humility. He was expressing humility. I'm not depending on my own strength, but the Lord is with me. Therefore, give me this mountain where the giants are living. You see, brothers and sisters, what mountain has the Lord laid upon your heart to overcome? What are the giants in your life that are holding you back from following the Lord all the way, not half-heartedly? Fear them, and you doom yourself to wilderness wandering and a dishonorable grave. Meet them head on, like Caleb, with humility, trusting that God with us is big, and with his help, we will conquer them. Now, there is this true story of a man who stretched beyond his comfort zone to accomplish something significant in his life. Something different. Many of us will remember this name, Roger Bannister. Those my generation will remember him. He's the first man to run the mile under 4 minutes, and he did it in 1954. So this is Roger Bannister, the British runner. But whenever sports historians talk about Roger Bannister breaking the barrier of the 4 minutes mile, they also give credit to a crippled athlete who came within 4.5 seconds of the same goal 16 years earlier. This is a story of Glenn Cunningham and his persistence in attempting the seemingly impossible should inspire us to be courageous and relentless in our effort to accomplish what we are called by God to do. You see, something happened to Glenn Cunningham when he was 7 years old. I think it was his brother, he was maybe, don't know what he was doing, maybe doing an experiment, and there was an explosion in his house. Glenn Cunningham's elder brother died as a result of an explosion. And for Glenn Cunningham himself, when he was 7 years old, the fire engulfed both his legs, and he was seriously wounded at age seven. The explosion killed his brother, and the flames engulfed his legs. So when he was admitted to the hospital and being treated, doctors declared that he would never walk again. But he and his mother refused to submit to this discouragement and self-pity. And so while he was in the hospital, as he was recovering from his burned legs, his mother would, on many occasions, massage his twisted legs for hours on end, month after month. It was only after 3 years that Glenn Cunningham, when he was 10 years old, that he was able to put aside his clutches. After 3 years, and the doctors again cautioned him, don't expect too much. Glenn Cunningham, when he entered high school, that means secondary school, he was still limping because of the fire. But after 4 years of iron determination on the track team of the school, Glenn Cunningham was awarded an athletic scholarship by the University of Kansas. And in 1934, Glenn Cunningham captured the world record for the mile at 4 minutes, 6.7 seconds. And then in 1938, he stunned the world again with his scarred and deformed legs when he sliced the world record down to 4 minutes, 4.4 seconds. And it took another 16 years before the British runner Roger Bannister broke the 4 minutes barrier. So Glenn Cunningham was able to do it because he was willing to stretch beyond his comfort zone. He was not allowing his adverse circumstance to determine his future despite his handicap. Coming back to Caleb at 85 years old, Caleb could have asked for a quiet place to retire. Instead, he told Joshua, give me this mountain where the giants are there, and I will take it. Most people at this age would have been seeking comfort and a quiet life, but Caleb was seeking this challenge, this conquest. Most people would have asked for security at that age, but Caleb asked for this big challenge. His faith was still growing at 85. Why? Because he refused to settle into comfort. He believed that God's promises was just as reliable at 85 years old than when he was at 40 years. But Caleb's story does not end with conquering giants, because chapter 15 shows us that genuine faith not only claims God's promises, but also seeks to maximize them for God's glory. And we see this beautifully illustrated through his daughter, Exa. And this brings us to our fourth and final point. Seeks God's blessing with bold faith. Chapter 15, verses 13 to 19. As Joshua 15 continues to record the allotment of the promised land, the division of the land, the focus suddenly narrows from tribes and territories to a family story. Caleb, Othniel, his nephew, and then X. By the way, if you want an A name for your daughter, Exa is a good name. You have never heard anybody name Exa before. That's a good name for a girl. At first glance, this may seem like a minor detail in a larger narrative of Israel's conquest. But hidden within this brief account are profound lessons about faith, about initiative, taking the initiative and not be laid back, and the pursuit of God's blessing. By the time we come to Joshua 15, Caleb had already conquered Hebron, and the Anakims have been destroyed, and his inheritance had been secured. Yet the story reminds us that receiving an inheritance is one thing, but fully enjoying it and maximizing it is another. And the same is true in our Christian life. You see, God has blessed us with many heavenly blessings in Christ, but we must seize his blessings by faith and then use them for his glory in our life and ministry. Caleb was given Hebron as his inheritance. Verse 13 tells us, yet there remained one significant obstacle. Kiriath Sefer has not yet been conquered. And so Caleb made an unusual offer in verse 16. He said, he who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will give him Exa, my daughter, as wife. So even though he conquered Hebron, but one tiny area, one small plot of territory, still not occupied. And so he put forth this challenge. And his nephew, Othniel, responded to the challenge. And he captured Kiriath Sefer. You see, Othniel did not wait for someone else to act. He saw an opportunity and he moved forward in faith to capture the city. And later on, in the book of Judges, after the book of Joshua is the book of Judges, we saw that Othniel became the first judge of Israel. And it shows that God often entrusts greater opportunities for those who are bold to seize initial opportunities. And so Othniel became the first judge of Israel. You see, brothers and sisters, many Christians miss out on God's blessing today because they remain spectators instead of being participants in advancing the kingdom of God. We pray for opportunities, but when opportunities come along our way, we hesitate. We ask God to use us, but when the opportunity comes, we shrink back. Bold faith says, Lord, here I am, use me. And those who dare to be different are willing to accept great challenges for God's glory. And Othniel is a good example of that. But the story does not end with Othniel's victory at Kiriath Sefer. Caleb's daughter, Exa, her action revealed that bold faith not only conquers enemies, not only takes over territories, but also seeks God's provision. After receiving the land in Negev, which is south of the Dead Sea, Exa, Caleb's daughter, realized that the region, if you know a bit about the topography of Israel, that land south of the Dead Sea all the way to the Sinai Peninsula, to the Red Sea, it is dry and arid. No crops can grow because it's almost like semi-desert. And Exa realized that this region given to her was dry and would not flourish without water. And so she approached her father, Caleb, boldly and asked for these blessings. Give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev, and give me also the springs of water. So this was a bold request. Notice a few things about Exa. First, she recognized her need. She understood that land, no matter how vast it is, without water, could never reach its full potential. Likewise, believers, as believers, we must recognize that we cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. Without God's grace, we become spiritually dry very soon. Without the Holy Spirit, our service becomes fruitless. Therefore, just now earlier on, we sang, not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to become fruitful. Without prayer, our soul very soon will become barren. So that's the first thing Exa teaches. She recognized her need. Then secondly, notice that Exa approached the right source. She went to her father, Caleb, because she knew that her father, Caleb, had the authority to give what she needed. So this reminds us, in the same way, we should come before God, our Heavenly Father, and ask boldly what we need to make our life fruitful and our ministry fruitful. It reminds me of James 4, verse 2. You do not have. Why? Because you do not ask. And how often do we struggle with spiritual dryness in our life because we dare not come boldly to our Heavenly Father and to ask Him for it? And then thirdly, Exa asked boldly. She did not hesitate. She did not fear rejection. What if my father said no? She requested what was necessary for fruitfulness. And Caleb generously granted her the request. You know, many Christians today, we live far below our spiritual privileges. We are content with little prayer, little joy, little power, little fruitfulness. And yet God invites us to ask boldly for wisdom, for strength, for holiness, for opportunities to serve, for open doors, for greater usefulness and fruitfulness in advancing His kingdom. You see, brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father delights to give us what we should ask for. Verse 19 tells us that Caleb gave Exa what she asked for, the upper springs and the lower springs. What generosity! Caleb exceeded her expectations. And this reflects the heart of our Heavenly Father. You see, God is not stingy with His grace. He often gives more mercy and grace than you and I deserve, more strength than we expect. So therefore, when we face challenge, don't shrink away from it, because by going through the challenge, we experience God's strength and His presence. That our Heavenly Father gives us more blessings than we could ever imagine. Brothers and sisters, too often our prayers are small because our view of God is small. We ask little because we expect little. But Scripture encourages us to approach God with confidence and with faith. Not because we deserve His blessings, not because of how good we are, but because He is a generous Father. And so let us ask God boldly. Let us pray expectantly. That's why I want to encourage all of us, starting this Wednesday, 1st of July, let's join our hearts with all the Christians in Singapore, hundreds of thousands of us, to pray for our nation and to ask God boldly, you know, to make Singapore a nation that will continue to be favored by God and to extend His kingdom here in our country and beyond, wherever the Lord may lead us. Why? Because God, our Heavenly Father, still delights in giving His children the upper springs and the lower springs, so that we will become fruitful in our lives and ministry. In response, brothers and sisters, let me just summarize by saying that the world today desperately needs men and women like Caleb and his daughter, Exa. People who will stand up for their convictions when others tend to compromise. People who will serve the Lord with all their hearts while others are only half-hearted. People who will step out in faith when others continue to remain within the comfort zones. People who will seek God's blessing boldly so that their lives and ministry become fruitful for His glory. The sad reality is that many Christians blend in so well with the crowd, with the world, that no one can really tell the difference. But God did not call us to fit in. He has called us to stand up for Christ. So, brothers and sisters, will you dare to be different for the Lord? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us what a life of unwavering faith and wholehearted devotion looks like to the life of Caleb. Forgive us for the times we have compromised, we have conformed to the pattern of this world, or when we have chosen comfort over obedience. Give us courage to stand up for our convictions. Give us hearts that are fully devoted to you. Give us faith to trust you for challenges beyond our comfort zones. And grant us boldness to claim all that you have and meant for us. May our lives stand out in this generation as lives that honor Christ and point others to Him. Help us to hear your voice above every other voice and to follow you faithfully until the very end. For our Lord Jesus' sake, amen. Let's stand as we sing.